And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so
darn wonderful. That's right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the good old show on iTunes. And if you do that, our show will be delivered to your iTunes account once a week, whether you want it to or not.
Now, Fred, can you go on our website, fredandjeff.com, and download the show there? And if you download it into a WAV file, you can put that on your non-Apple device listen to later?
You can absolutely download the show from fredandjeff.com. However, if you're lazy like I am, it automatically downloads on iTunes.
Yeah, but what if I don't have an iPhone or an iTouch?
You don't need an iPhone or an iTouch or an iPad. You can actually have an iTunes account and not have a device and just play all the music off your computer. Use it as a player on your computer.
What if I like Google and Android better than Apple and don't want anything to do with Apple? The 55% of the people out there.
Well, the New World Order, I think, suggests that Apple will be your demigod, which is ironic that we're saying gods because we're going to be talking about gods later in the show.
Ooh, very good. Very good.
You know, we got a lot of cool stuff going on in the community, as always. Nightfall is still going on at Old Tucson. Go out there and have dementoids chase you down with chainsaws. every year there's somebody with a chainsaw. One year it's like a zombie cowboy. Then one year it was a clown. I haven't been out there yet, so I don't know what the...
You mean you haven't been out there this year?
This year.
Right.
And so somebody or something will be chasing you down with a chainsaw.
Nice.
Apple Annie's Arizona Centennial Corn Maze is going on through Halloween. 15 acres of corn, 6 miles of pathways, 3 levels of difficulty, and a piece of pie at the end of the trail.
Really?
Well, you have to buy the pie, but it's over at Apple Annie's, so it's going to be Fabu pie. Actually, the 21st, the Blues and Heritage Festival is going on at the Demeester Bandshell Reed Park from 11 to 6:30. So after listening to this wonderful show, you can head over there and listen to some great blues and heritage.
What's heritage?
I don't know. It's just part of the title. and the centennial celebrations roll along. No,
it's not over yet. The centennial ended in February.
No, this whole year we're celebrating Arizona's centennial.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So the Center for Creative Photography has a Made in Arizona photographs from the collection. All sorts of photographs taken by Arizona photographers, Arizona topics, subjects, themes. And that's going on through November 25th over at the Center for Creative Photography on the campus of the University of Arizona.
Very cool.
Today, actually, what about maybe 10 minutes ago, the parade started, but the 83rd annual El Dorado Days in Tombstone are going on. So if you're on the road, just get on I-10, head down to Tombstone, and enjoy El Dorado Days. Coming up is the Tucson Culinary Festival World Margarita Championship. It's a 7th annual on October 26th at the Tucson Museum of Art. And I will not be there, even though I love tequila. I'm not a big fan of margaritas.
What?
Well, I love pure tequila. Like, this is my motto. Bottle, glass, me. That's the progression of tequila that I want. So
bottle, glass, me.
That's how it starts in the bottle, goes in glass.
Wow, you've really refined yourself. Because I remember back in the day, it used to be bottle, me.
Yes, that was true. But now, yes, I've added the glass.
Yeah, very
so
good.
So I can at least, monitor how many glasses I do. Now, I'm not saying, the size of the glass may be the size of a bottle. Who knows?
Yeah, Fred, the joke's over.
But it's there.
Onward we go.
Halloween at Reed Park Zoo is going on from October 26th.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's just a weekend, October 26th to the 28th, from 6 to 8 p.m. It is Halloween family fun at the Reed Park Zoo. The animals will not be out, but I'm sure that there'll be enough costumed animals there that you'll enjoy yourself.
Right.
And there's a 5:30 early admission for members of the zoo.
And will there be hot chocolate or any fun things like that being distributed to the little children?
I can't guarantee hot chocolate, but I imagine there might be some kind of treats.
Perfect.
That will be out there.
Perfect.
And the Zombie Smash. Zombie Smash. No, isn't that Hulk Smash?
Hulk Smash, yes.
Hulk Smash. No, but this is the Zombie Smash. Tucson Roller Derby is coming your way, our way, Saturday, October 27th. The Furious Truck Stop Waitresses are up against the Dirty Verdi Roller Derby.
Oh, the Dirty Verdis.
So this is an intrastate bout, the Dirty Verdi Roller Derby, ladies from Phoenix. So we're going to be rooting for our Furious Truck Stop Waitresses. Saturday, October 27th, doors open at 6, game at 7. It's at the Derby Rec House on East Valencia. For tickets and information, contact TucsonRollerDerby.com.
Very cool. And let's not forget the Run Like Hell benefiting the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. That's next Sunday, October 28th at 4 o'clock. And it starts down at Gentle Bend's on University. And it's a 5K. It's 3.1 miles. I think a 5K is 3.1 miles.
It's, yeah, a little over 3 miles.
And that would be 3.1. And you dress up in your favorite Halloween costume, and you go and you run around, and you raise some money for cystic fibrosis.
You start at Gentle Bend's, enjoy some craft beer.
Right.
Get loaded. And
maybe a little
like
tequila
hell.
In a glass.
Then run like hell.
Then run like crazy. There's more information, and there's still time to sign up to raise a little money for CF. If you go to their website here in Tucson, so, you know, Google Cystic Fibrosis Tucson and come out and run like hell. You'll see me and the family out there next Sunday. I think we're dressing up like, hold on, I know we're dressing up like.
I want to see you guys running a 5K. That'll be good.
Well, we'll be walk running because, you know, a 9-year-old and 8-year-old can't, at least in my house, can't run a full 5K.
No, I'm not talking about the kids.
Are you kidding me?
You run in 5K.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I was going to dress up like now because you're being such a smart aleck. But rest assured, it's going to be something fun. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I want to wear my Halloween costume for this because I'm sure it'll get all messy. So if our listeners, if you out there have a good idea of what I should dress like, what Halloween costume I should wear for the CF Run Like Hell next Sunday, send us some ideas to fred@fredandjeff.com. And if I like them, I'll wear them.
I have some suggestions.
So, folks, we'll be right back. We're going to take our first break and get the big show rolling down the road here on this fabulous Sunday in the Old Pueblo. So stick around.
Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because our 4-star spas, guest ranches, and resorts attract admiring visitors from around the world.
And our original restaurants draw rave reviews across the country.
Because the Science and Technology Park is creating a cutting-edge biotech corridor.
And the University of Arizona leads the nation in optics and astronomy.
And because the nation's best gem and mineral showcase brings us thousands of visitors every year.
This is my Tucson, and together we thrive.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt from Ronstadt Insurance and the Fred and Jeff Show. Healthcare reform is a reality, and it's very, very confusing. So give myself and my staff a call at Ronstadt Insurance at 520-721-4848, and we'll help you figure out what healthcare reform means to you, your employees, and your family. Ronstadt Insurance, we are pioneers in good service. Give us a call at 520-721-4848.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on something.
Twitter.
Like us on Facebook. And subscribe to the good old show on iTunes.
Yes.
And the show will be delivered straight to your mailbox.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. So this week, you know, we had alluded in the first segment about the gods. And our guest this week is Laura Markowitz, who is an author, a journalist, a good all-around good time Tucsonan. And she just recently wrote a book called Book of the Gods, of the Sky God. Hello, Laura. How you doing?
Fine, Fred. Thanks. I've never been called an all-good old Tucsonan before. I'm psyched.
Yeah, Fred, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to read this introduction that our fabulous guest Laura wrote for you to say, but you didn't.
I did not. Well,
as a young girl, Laura Markowitz loved to read, but she was frustrated that there were so few books that were written for teens. So she promised herself she'd write one when she grew up. Has that happened yet?
It just happened.
Okay. Her young adult novel, Book of the Sky God, just came out October 3rd. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's a science fiction adventure for readers ages 12 and up. Laura's been a writer her whole career. She didn't start writing fiction until 5 years ago. She was a writer and editor on psychology and family therapy topics and won the National Magazine Award for a story about community mental health. Her cover stories on things like affairs and couple relationships have appeared in dozens of magazines from Glamour and Mademoiselle to Utney Reader?
Utney, close.
Utney. Obviously, I don't subscribe to that one. And Miss. I don't get that one either. So she moved to Tucson in 2002, which is when Fred first met her. She was a volunteer for Voices, a downtown nonprofit that taught low-income Tucson youth the documentary arts of writing and reporting. Laura became an independent producer for Arizona Public Media, and she's covered topics like the controversy over cannabis and civil discourse. Sounds like a good topic. She also started producing videos about the University of Arizona for the UA's homepage in the Pac-12 network. But even with her accomplished journalism career, real love is writing fiction for young people. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Jeff. That was well read.
Thank you. And Fred, was that a better intro than yours? Hey, she's an all-around good time, and we're here to talk today.
No, because my intro allows us to, like, then probe and ask questions that would lead to the content of these things.
Okay, wait a minute. Now that we've brought it out...
Well, guys, can I just interject that...
No, you really can't because you're just the guest.
But I'm a trained family therapist.
Yes.
And I've been dying to get on your show and do a little work of the sibling issues with you.
Oh, really? We're probably your classic siblings. Fred being the older, potentially more dominant one. Me being the younger, more docile one.
That's an interesting assessment.
You know, that's how I am. So... Let's get, but this show today is about you, Laura. Let's talk about you. You know, do you ever listen to Zara Larsson's show here on Saturdays?
I haven't heard it.
Oh, she's fabulous. If folks have an opportunity, Zara Larsson has a show on this station on Saturdays. It's a great show. You should listen to it because if you're out there looking for something, Zara can help you find it. But we, on the other hand, are here to talk about our fabulous neighbors. And, wow, so you wrote all these amazing articles. Can you tell us what this article was that you won the award for?
I won a National Magazine Award for an article about home-based family therapy. So instead of families who are in crisis, let's say a child's been neglected or abused, instead of the social services coming in and removing the child and then providing services for the family and trying to reunite them, the family therapists go to the family during the crisis and work with them right then and there. And the hope, I mean, in some cases it's not viable. In some cases protecting the child from harm is paramount. But this article really looked at how useful is this way of approaching at-risk families. And, of course, there were pros and cons.
Oh, well, so give us a pro and a con.
Well, I think what's generally in the best interest of at-risk children is they want to stay with their families.
Sure.
If it's safe. And it's extremely expensive for society to remove children from the home. You've got to find them safe and appropriate placements and then provide help for families and move them toward reunification. That's I believe that in Arizona, that's the law. So what if a child's removed because of poverty issues, like they don't have a working refrigerator and the house is a mess or they have an infestation of cockroaches? Doesn't it make more sense to come in with the services and intervene and fix those things and keep the family together? So
sort of take the stress out of the relationships and help them heal a lot.
Right. I mean, and this is a topic that I haven't really been involved with for a decade and a half. I mean, the way my career worked, I was very involved in the family therapy field, went to graduate school, trained as a family therapist so that I could write about it as a journalist. But in 2005, I just let it all go. I just decided, first I was a little bit burned out on the deadline work of journalism, and I really wanted to write fiction. It was a dream, and I just decided, what am I waiting for? Let's do it.
Why did you get into the mental health field initially? I mean, was it just something that was interesting to you, or was it just kind of a way to pay the bills? Or, you know, I'm always curious when we look at our kids today, and we, you know, like Fred and I have younger, Fred's kids are a little bit older than my kids, but, you know, they go from wanting to be a fireman and a cop or a nurse or to the president of the United States, and then they finally get to college. And they really have to figure out what it is. And most times kids come out of college, they have no clue what they want to do. And for some strange reason, they always seem to set aside what their true calling is for some reason, whether it's, I don't think I can make any money doing that, or my parents tell me that's not what I should do, or I just have some self-doubt. And they get into a different career field and then find themselves in middle life, miserable, and then starting over. And I'm not saying that's what happened to you, but it seems to happen all the time.
Well, that's a really interesting insight. For me, I knew I wanted to be in journalism. And after college, I majored in comparative religion in college. I mean, you can't think of a less practical
major. Well, I don't know, Fred, what was your major?
Philosophy,
yeah, very similar. And even more so that I studied Buddhism. That's what I was interested in, Southeast Asian Buddhism. And lived there for a while. After college, I had a Thomas J. Watson fellowship. So it's basically they give you a lump of money to go pursue a project of your interest abroad. So I went to 6 different countries and I looked at how women make space for themselves in traditional male-dominated religions. So I lived in convents, Buddhist temples, all kinds of places.
Now, when you say space, you mean what?
I mean, kind of, if you are if you're a nun, do you accept, this was my question as a young person, do you accept the idea that you're in a way, a second-class citizen. Like in Buddhism, they really have, some people have a traditional belief that you have to become, you have to be born as a man to become enlightened. So I wondered, well, how did the women feel about that? Did they agree with it? Did they, you know, wave it away and say, nah, that's just some guy's idea, you know? So I was interested. I was very open-minded to hearing how women in many religions, Islam, Judaism, Russian Orthodox, Catholic, and Buddhist, in this way made space for themselves. And
well, now, wait a minute. I got to ask you, what did you find out?
It's such a big topic. I found out that indeed they do, that in some ways we all claim and change culture. So there were aspects that they claimed that fed them deeply, and there were aspects that they just said, I don't think that's true. And I think, you know, we all do that. We all do that with our belief systems. And I found it really interesting to see the different ways. There were nuns, I lived in the in Finland, in the woods, middle of the woods, with Catholic nuns, a small order, and they were completely self-sufficient. They were like denim-wearing, guitar-playing nuns, and they'd built their own house, they'd built their own sauna, they were fantastic, and they
very cool.
Gave themselves communion. You know, there was no priest for miles and miles and miles, and
so they did what they had to do.
They did what they had to do.
And they were happy.
And they were happy.
So you went into this through college, you got your degree, you get out of college, you're working in the field of mental health.
So the path was more, I had this fellowship and I came back and I thought, well, heck, what am I going to do? I need to make money. And so I ended up getting a research position at a nonprofit called the National Security Archive in Washington, D.C., where we were looking at declassified government documents. It was through the Freedom of Information Act, which was a new thing back then. And I ended up working on a book on the Iran-Contra affair.
Wow.
So it was exciting.
Sure. And then eventually you got to...
From there, well, once I had a book credit, it was easier to get better jobs in publishing. I went and worked for the Biblical Archaeology Society. They had several magazines. I worked on a Jewish magazine called Moment, and I really learned the skills of magazine editing, proofreading, copy editing. I read unsolicited manuscripts all day long and weeded out the good ones and the bad ones. And then from there, I got another job as a senior editor for a mental health magazine called the Family Therapy Networker. It's now called the Psychotherapy Networker. And I stayed there for 11 years. And that's really when my interest in mental health developed. But really was my interest in being a better writer in the field.
Doing an apprenticeship.
Yeah, I never wanted to practice in the field, but I wanted to be very, very good at writing about it, have a deep and thorough knowledge.
And very cool.
That's very interesting to me because I listen to NPR a lot. And when they have, like, news stories, you know, the news magazine kind of stuff, the interviewer talks to somebody who's written an article about something, and they always treat that person as if they were the end user expert on whatever topic it is that they actually researched. And I always think to myself, this person, you know, spent maybe a week or two researching something and wrote an article, and now they're being regarded as an expert. But that's totally anything you write for you in mental health, you have that background.
Well, thanks. And what was fun for me was I was writing not for therapists. Some of my writing was for therapists, but I wrote for popular magazines. So translating some of these really interesting ideas for, you know, glamour readers.
That's crazy. Okay, we got to take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be right back, folks. Stick around here on the Fred and Jeff Show. As Congress Street opens and construction slows down, it's never been easier to enjoy downtown.
With more than 15,000 spaces, it's a breeze to find parking while you're downtown. You can enjoy everything from world-class cuisine to great casual dining. Take in a show or explore dozens of galleries and museums. Have a night on the town with the best nightlife around. Shop at amazing stores with unique and fashionable goods in Tucson's downtown. Fun you won't find anywhere except downtown. Support your locally owned business downtown. See more at Tucson. See more at going down on Tucson.org. See more at downtowntucson.org.
What a cheese.
Well, you know, come on.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. I figured since you can buy politicians so easily these days, why not rent an entire party? So I contacted Arizona Party Rental, and they said, that's not what we do. Well, guess what I found out? I found out they rent everything you need to throw a party. You know, I'm the kind of guy who likes getting married so often, it's good to know. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Now, every time I get married, I call on Arizona Party Rental. If you're like me and you say I do more often than Larry King, call on Arizona Party Rental. And unlike Uncle Sam, they understand what a tight budget means.
Thanks a lot, David. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Do what Fitzsimmons does. Draw your own conclusions. Visit Arizona Party Rental today on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
We're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, where you can pick up some of the old shows, take a look at all the pictures of folks that we've had in studio. A couple of Jeff just
lounging around, enjoying himself.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the good old show on iTunes.
Very good.
So we're sitting here in studio with Laura Markowitz, and she is the author of a brand new e-book called Book of the Sky God. And we've just been talking to her about her history. And we recently just left India.
What's this?
We just left India with your history?
Oh, we just left it. I did spend some time in India. Well, after I...
Let me help you with that.
Yes, no, please.
Because Fred...
Where were we going there, Fred?
Fred doesn't know what the hell we're doing over there.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, like, yeah.
So earlier we were talking to... And we'll just kind of catch up our guests that just tuned in. We were just kind of talking about your background and how you started in kind of the... multicultural, multi-religious background, and you've always wanted to be an author, and so you learned how to be a journalist first, and then you've kind of worked for a bunch of organizations, which led you to, at this point, you know, where we left off our conversation was, you were working with a magazine, a Jewish magazine?
It was a family therapy magazine.
And that's right, Psychotherapy Today.
Network.
Right. That's it. And then where'd you go?
I may not have good interview skills, but Jeff has no memory.
I have zero. I think I have dementia, Fred. I really do.
So no problem.
So you're at the magazine now.
So I was at the magazine, and it was a wonderful experience. And at a certain point, I started publishing my own magazine as well.
I did,
with the blessing of my editor. I was frustrated at the lack of space he was giving in that magazine to look at alternative families. It was, you know, the families come in all kinds of different forms and
Shape, sizes, colors.
Yeah, yeah. And so I started a magazine. It was called In the Family. I published it for 10 years. It was very successful. It had a small, you know, niche market, but we had annual conferences in San Francisco every year. People came from all over the world. So it was interesting. It was a time of theory building in that area of the mental health fields.
Now, had you moved to Tucson at this point?
Well, in year five of that, well, let's see. After about 7 years of publishing my magazine, we relocated to Tucson. It was right after 9/11. We were living in Washington, D.C. We could see the, you know, the smoke from the Pentagon.
Wow.
And hear the jets from Andrews Air Force Base buzzing over our house protectively. And we just decided, look, maybe we'll move. And I love Tucson. My grandmother had lived in Tucson. And, you know, it's just such a wonderful place. And I never was a person who needed a big city. I grew up in New York and I lived in Washington, D.C., but I never loved cities. You know, I love nature. So Tucson was perfect because you have the best of both worlds. You have plenty of culture. It's great. But, you know, bobcats in the backyard.
Oh, and the Sonoran Desert is beautiful.
It's just, it's awesome.
All year round, you can find beauty in the Sonoran Desert.
And I love the community. I love, for example, the literary scene here is fantastic.
So you're a big fan of the book festival?
Big fan of the Festival of Books and a big fan of the Poetry Center. I think the Poetry Center is amazing. And Casa Libre, there's so many wonderful nooks and crannies of writers and writing events. Antigone Books is a great support for writers. Actually, I gave a reading from Book of the Sky God there a few years ago while it was still in process.
Developing.
So when I moved to Tucson, I published the magazine for 3 more years. And then getting back to your original question from before the break, Jeff, I think there is a way in which we maybe protect our dreams a little bit. Like, writing fiction was so important to me that I didn't do it, which sounds odd, but in another way.
Well, you just don't want to fail.
I wanted the confidence.
You want to wait. Yeah, you want to wait until you've built up enough confidence that when you take that first step, you feel secure enough that you're not going to fail.
That's
you may
right.
fail,
That's
but
right.
you feel good enough to think that I'm ready now.
That's right.
I always say that people always ask me, gosh, why did you wait so long to start your own business? And my answer is I wasn't ready. You know, before that, I've always felt like I'm an entrepreneur, but I don't think I needed to learn enough. So when I did open my doors, I didn't want to close them down a year later. So well, it's kind of like that.
Exactly. And I had a lot of dreams. I mean, writing fiction has always been one, really always. I mean, because my brother used to tease me. We'd go to the public libraries, my older brother. And so he'd walk me to the library, and I'd leave, and the stack of books in my arms would be so high I couldn't see over them. And he would look at me like I was crazy, and he'd say, "You really going to read all those?" I'm like, of course.
And you did, didn't you?
I did, and I'm still like that when I'm coming to and from the library with a large stack of books. So, but writing was one dream. Starting my own magazine was another, and I did do that. I mean, I spent a good 10 years, and I consider all my other magazine work before then in an apprenticeship to learn how to do it.
That's great.
So, yeah, I feel really happy about it. And the other thing is, I think I needed to practice writing. And when you're an editor, you have a lot of opportunity to read writing that needs developing and to read really wonderful writing and to sort of develop your own ear. You tune your own ear to what's good.
That's I'm sure that's a great piece of advice for young people who want to be writers, to read everything.
It's true. And the other thing that happened when we moved to Tucson, I have a number of nieces and nephews, and we're really a reading family. You know, none of us have television. We're sort of freaks. We're American freaks that way.
So,
you don't have television. Yeah. So they don't have television.
Oh, but you have iPad. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
close.
We have Netflix. I mean, we don't have the cable. But so my nieces and nephews were avid readers, and, you know, they live far away. So to kind of keep up with them, I would read what they were reading. And I developed this deep love of young adult literature. I think it's almost a misnomer. I mean, young adult literature, yes, it's written for young people, but it's great for adults.
Well, know? I do the same thing with my kids. Whatever they're reading, you know, I read as well.
It's
wonderful. I mean, you make the connection with them. But it's some of this stuff is really, I mean, it's not just for young readers. There's great themes and great stories.
Well, so give us an example of some stuff that you guys are really in love with.
Well, The Hunger Games
was
so fun. Harry Potter was a blast.
I'm going
Jackson.
To Wicked.
I love it.
Percy Jackson was pretty good, but Wicked, although McCoy and I, my younger son is more into Wicked than my older son, but the second book, Son of a Witch, we got the audiobook as well, and we were listening to it, and Laura, this is nothing against you, but authors should not read their own book.
Agreed. I'm not
so
tempted.
Awful. That bad?
Oh, gosh. It is so bad. But, I mean, the book is great. The story's great. I mean, but the author is interpreting the characters and stuff. You would think, this is the guy to do it. And then you're like, no, he shouldn't be doing this at all.
So what were some of the things that you read that you fell in love with that your nieces and nephews were reading?
Wow, there are so many that it's almost hard to list them all. There were Orson Scott Card.
The Ender's Game?
The Ender's Game series was fabulous. And there are also Gail Carson Levine, I think her name is, has a whole series of fairy tales with a more of a feminist slant where the girls save themselves. And they're terrific. You know, they're great books. My nephews love them, too, because they were good adventure stories.
That's great. So, well, I remember when Fred and I were growing up, it was the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew.
Exactly.
And now it's Harry Potter and Percy Jackson and Hunger Games.
Well, even older literature, too. Like, the boys love the Lord of the Rings, and, you know, The Hobbit, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, all this old stuff we used to read. I mean, not the Hardy Boys.
Dune.
But, yeah.
Dune, science fiction.
Dune was phenomenal.
You know, the L. Ron Hubbard that's not related to Scientology. All excellent stuff.
Yeah. So we have kind of meandered all over the place, and we've kind of finally gotten to the place where we wanted to get to, and that's about you now. You're a published author, and you've published this wonderful young adult book called Book of the Sky God, and we have to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this fabulous book that you've written, and where people can find it. And so, folks, stick around. We'll be right back here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, fivestartermite.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt from Ronstadt Insurance and the Fred and Jeff Show. Healthcare reform is a reality, and it's very, very confusing. So give myself and my staff a call at Ronstadt Insurance at 520-721-4848, and we'll help you figure out what healthcare reform means to you, your employees, and your family. Ronstadt Insurance, we are pioneers in good service. Give us a call at 520-721-4848.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Burger.
A simple, well-made burger. Cooked to your choice.
Why Monkey Burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey Burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger. Star Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating all the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in the old Pueblo so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And subscribe to the good old program on iTunes.
I like the way you put the emphasis on culture today, Fred, because that's really what the show is about today. Culture.
Culture? I was thinking just I don't have any, so I'm like compensating.
No, that's not true. You're drinking tequila out of a glass now, so that's culture.
That's true. Very true. So in studio with us is fabulous author, entrepreneur, journalist, and great Tucsonan, Laura Markowitz. Laura, welcome back.
Thanks, Fred.
Or welcome to the next segment of the show. Welcome back to the next segment.
So we just left off before we had to take a break, where we were talking about your book of the Sky God. And I've got the little card here, and I was reading it. It kind of gives a little synopsis on the book. But what I'm real curious is do you have a main character in this book?
So I have five main characters in this book. This is like an ensemble book. And these five teenagers work together to save the world. It's different. I mean, I think Harry Potter, for example, that's a book about Harry and his friends, Ron and Hermione. And that's kind of the model we have. We have Percy Jackson and his
friends.
You know, his friends.
The sidekicks, right.
Exactly, the sidekicks. And what I've done is a little bit different. I didn't want it to be one hero or heroine. So each of the five characters plays a very, very important role, has his or her own chapters devoted to his or her story arc. And so it kind of weaves together. And so it starts with Ram Rajatani. And that's the other thing, is that my heroes are Indian American, three of them. It's Ram and his sisters, Layla and Nina.
So when you say Indian American, do you mean Native American or
from India, South Asian?
Okay.
Right? And so they're first generation American, and this is taking place in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. And Ram's, and then his sisters, Nina, who's older and kind of his nemesis, they have some sibling issues, and Layla, who's younger, and she's a very gentle character and a little bit mysterious in that she chooses not to speak since the age of 8. She hasn't spoken a word. She writes down what she needs to communicate. And within the book, we find out why. And then Ram's best friend, Henry Lipton, he's a good-looking, successful fellow, except that he's plagued with an unfortunate affliction, which I call girlophobia. Whenever he tries to talk to a girl, he barfs.
Oh,
so he's got his afflictions that occupies that and tortures him. And he's been having an online relationship with the mysterious Comics Chick 8. And we discover that's her screen name, right? And we discover later who she is. And she starts out wanting to torture Henry, but ends up being an ally and one of the five heroes of the book. And the book is really about, it started with my curiosity about the Mayan prophecy that the world's going to end on December 21st, 2012. And I thought to myself, was it just completely random that the Mayan calendar ends on that day? Or do they really have some foreknowledge that something's going to happen? And of course, when you're writing fiction and you're perpetrating an act of imagination, you know, go with the weird one. Yeah, it's like, yeah, there definitely is.
Yeah, they ran out of rock. You know, they didn't have any more space on the wheel, so
something big's coming.
Right. People say that, or did they know something? So the book is really based on this idea that no, they did know something, and but don't be alarmed, because it's not going to be 2012. There's a secret cult called the Brotherhood of the Prophecy, they've been archaeologists all the way back, and they're descended from a Spanish conquistador.
As our friend and I.
Yes, who found a...
Did you know that?
I did know that.
Oh, we didn't. I just found that out the other day.
That's pretty cool.
I'm just kidding.
So you're part of the Brotherhood of the Rosary. Well, their ancestor found a Mayan artifact when he was busy conquering, and it explains that on December 21st, 2015, the gods will be returning to judge humanity. So this brotherhood decided to deliberately mistranslate the calendar so people would think it was 2012. 2012 would come and go, no problem. And then the eyes would not be on the skies in 2015 when the real event was going to happen.
Wow.
And I have to admit why I did that is because originally I had it just as 2012, and I had a contract with Macmillan to publish the book. And then my agent gave me the good news, and the very next day she called and she said, terrible news, Borders just announced that it's going out of business, and so Macmillan is suspending all new acquisitions.
Oh.
And so by the time they got back to it, they felt like there wasn't enough shelf life for the book because 2012 was too soon. So I thought, well, that's easily changed. I'm the god of my own book, so
sure.
Let me just rewrite that.
Yeah, see, if George Orwell was still around, it wouldn't be 1984.
That's right. Well, exactly. Still has plenty of shelf.
Can I ask you a question about that? Buying books today has changed so much. And, you know, a year ago, you would go to the bookstore, or you'd go to a Bookman's or a place where they had books, and you'd buy them. Now it seems like everyone's got a device that you can download any book.
Well, Jeff, I'm counting on that, because Book of the Sky God is an e-book. So I deliberately decided to put it out as an e-book. For many reasons, but one of them is it's fun. It's fun because I published a magazine for 10 years, and I like literally handling print materials and shipping it and distributing it. It's a whole lot of work. Whereas an ebook, it's elegant. You know, you upload the file.
And it's green.
There's not a lot of paper, no paper. And I'm counting on, you know, a certain number of young people having e-readers, and more are. And they can read it on their computers as well.
Very good. Yeah, you could download Kindle onto your computer and read it through there.
Absolutely.
So you kind of are the new trend of authors, where you're not interested in having that huge tome on a bookshelf. You just want to disseminate your story.
That's absolutely right. It's really a new frontier for authors. And what I really like about it is, okay, we all know, anybody who's tried to get published knows that there's a certain amount of luck, there's a certain amount of who you know, who you're connected to, can you get an agent? And I'm actually one of those people who is really connected. I have a really good agent. I mean, she's very high-powered, has represented National Book Award winners, blah, blah, blah. But even so, what publishers are looking for is, can they sell it? And the kind of changes that I was asked to do, the kind of edits, you know, you give up a lot of creative control. And when you put it out as an ebook, and this is both good and bad, because when you put it out as an ebook, you know what it's like when you've written something, you think, hey, this is the best thing ever. And then you get Fred to read it, and he's like, Jeff, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
So I wouldn't recommend that you, one, just write a book and then say, this is the best thing ever, and put it out. You should get, you know, I hired an editor to edit me. Even though I am an editor, you know, you need somebody else's eyes on it. And I actually had, you know, a number of other people who are professional editors give me, you know, good feedback. But this new frontier of e-publishing is so exciting. And there are so many opportunities to get your book out in the world. I have a readership in India now, which is exactly what I wanted. These are Indian American heroes. Why not?
So translation is no big deal now either.
Well, no, they speak English. English is one of the national languages in India.
Right, but my point is it's a lot easier to translate something in a file than it would be to reprint all the books.
That's right.
That's great.
We got a few minutes left, but we're just getting into the story, which I was getting very interested in.
Well, the story
is... We don't want to give it all away.
Put it this way.
So
my idea is that human evolution was... We were helped by what we would call gods, but they're really just aliens who are further along on the evolutionary ladder. And on December 21st, 2015, they're going to come back and
see what's happened in the petri dish.
Yeah, look over the human experiment and see if it was a good thing. And if it wasn't, then they can simply reverse time so that our evolution never happened, at least not with their help. So there's a lot at stake. And the kids find themselves in a position of having to figure out how to defend humanity. And, you know, given our heavy ecological footprint, all the species that have gone extinct because of human
intervention,
pollution, et cetera, and other things, it raises some really interesting ethical questions. I can promise you a surprise ending. But, you know, when you write for young adults, you can't make it too depressing. So.
Right. You don't want anyone jumping off a cliff.
That's right.
Well, Book of the Sky God. Laura, this book is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBook Store, Sony Reader Store, and a bunch of other places. We'll put a link on the FredandJeff.com website.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate you coming in, talking to folks about who you are and your adventures and what got you to Tucson. And I hope, you know, a couple, 3 years from now, we're on the third or fourth or fifth, of a series of these kids.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Fred. I had a great time. You guys are a lot of fun.
Well, thanks.
This was gosh darn fun.
Thanks. Do we have anything to give away this week?
No, we always have stuff to give away.
Well, you got a minute.
We have a dozen roses from Mayfield, and
yeah.
We have craft beer and pizza from 1702.
Yeah, that's right. So, folks, the first person.
Oh, no, let's do this. We
oh,
have
let's
the time.
Do this, Fred.
Let's let Laura come up with a trivia question. Yeah, maybe based on something that's maybe on they have to go to your website and find something, and then forward it to me at fred@fredjeff.com.
Okay. What is the name of the immortal shapeshifter in Book of the Sky God?
Very good.
All right, so if you go to, give us the website.
Bookoftheskygod.com.
That was an easy one, Fred.
Bookoftheskygod.com, and send me the name of the shapeshifter. Then you get some roses and pizza from
FredandJeff.com. Fred@FredandJeff.com. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We got another big show next week. We got a music show next week, I believe.
Yeah, that's you put that one together.
Yeah. So we'll see you here, same time, same place. Fred and Jeff Show. Have a great week.